Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 415. I'm not up for witty banter today.
Good thing we don't have any of that.
It's been a couple of days. Today was a good day. First normal Wednesday, which was really nice since March. So that was very nice. Nice, good week of books, which was good too. I knew I was in for a busy day yesterday. Because we've had some thin weeks. Like next week is thin. But, hi, sweetie. Dogs aren't used to still being here during the podcast. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Brandon,
Spencer.
So I figure I'll start with some bad news. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm really sorry about this, but
I've been voted out.
What?
I've been voted out.
No, not at all. Captain Ginger has gone digital only.
I saw that today. Yeah. I saw that today, and I was going to ask you if there's going to be a hard copy.
They're not even going to finish what they...
I'm sure they'll do a graphic novel of it, but yeah, it's issue-wise, 3 and on are just digital, which was very disappointing.
Well, my night is ruined.
I really don't have any way to respond to this, and I'm allowed to on this podcast.
Kind of like me Friday afternoon reading an email.
Wow, yeah. What happened Friday afternoon?
Well, any other news? I'm sure there's other stuff.
Did you see they're doing a new Hellblazer miniseries with Taylor and...
Derek Robertson.
That's great, but he can't get it.
Well, maybe, unless it's digital only. It said Black Label. But that's kind of... That one-shot Deceased issue that had John Constantine in it.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Robertson drew the whole thing, but I definitely know he drew the Constantine scenes, and I thought he was great. He drew John great. Mm. So I was very happy when I saw that. But yeah, I did see that. So that was good news, but I have a serious lack of trust with said publisher.
Trust the publisher?
Why don't I trust the publisher? Well, they've been playing games with us for about 6 weeks now, where every Friday they've dropped a bomb and left the room.
So if Harry does that, we think it's cute.
That's true. That's true. It started probably about 6 weeks ago when they announced they were joining forces with Lunar and UCS to start distributing books at the end of April. Even though most stores were closed. So everybody's kind of like, what are you doing? And figured things were going to go back to normal. And then there were the occasional other little bombs, like they're not finishing some series. Some are going digital only. I can't even remember what they all were at this point because they all kind of got dwarfed. The week before, it was a Friday email at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's like the last person out hit the send button, where they were canceling all the dollar books and facsimile editions and that Manhunter miniseries and Genlock and Ruby and some other stuff. And I was like, oh, that's not a good sign. You know, it's starting to look like they're going to go just digital since they got rid of all the books that they can't sell digitally. Because, like, Ruby and Genlock already were digital books before they were print, and the dollar books and the facsimiles were older stuff that's already on their DC app. So we're like, okay, what's Friday going to bring? Well, nobody quite expected that.
So at this point, Colin just has the pinky in.
Yeah, I know things aren't going well. And they sent an email announcing they were effective immediately. Well, not immediately, but by the end of the month. Yeah, because books are already on order and there's no way for us to order them anywhere else at this point in time. But they're ending their deal with Diamond and will no longer be dealing with Diamond comic distributors, which leads to a whole bunch of chaos for us. Not for you guys so much. You'll get the books, same books, everything. Just for us, we now have to find a new distributor to get the books from, a separate place to create our orders that may or may not work with our POS systems. I really feel bad for the people using Diamond's Comic Suite system because I have a feeling that ain't going to work.
Yeah, pretty sure they won't support that one.
No. So, yeah, just...
Honestly, though, Diamond should, because people will move off of their POS
if they don't. Yeah, they like should, Diamond, but it'll be a case of will
Diamond
they...
should continue to grow their business and modernize, which I think is a big part of why DC left.
And some people should step up and be leaders in times of national emergencies.
Yeah, no, they should. But I think part of the problem is they announced it on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Those companies weren't able to get information to those particular POS systems that just simply use a CSV file. But my understanding is that neither of them give their information out via CSV or import their orders via CSV. So... it's a case of getting everybody working together. Part of the problem was Diamond also did not let those two distributors know that they were making that announcement. So they were a little overwhelmed with stores calling to set up and figure out and ask questions and things like that. So it was just kind of a big, what?
DC.
What?
DC didn't tell Lunar.
Right, and... right. Didn't tell them, so they were unprepared for the onslaught of work they suddenly had. And that's part of my concern is... I don't know how many retailers they had during this whole thing. But now to all of a sudden have all the retailers, are they ready for that volume? Because it's, you know, that's a sudden increase in volume, increase of pickers and shippers and stuff. And, you know, if all of a sudden somebody told me, oh, you're going from 200 customers to 2,500 customers...
It sounds great in theory.
It does, but yeah. And the other problem is that we all, well, I didn't experience, but I read all about it, was the Heroes World thing, where somebody at Marvel called Heroes World and said, hey, can you distribute nationally, even though they were just a little regional distributor? And they're like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then they did, and they were completely overwhelmed, and it all fell apart. So that's...
Yeah, but this is a little different than Heroes World, because Marvel bought Heroes World. And DC is outsourcing this to two companies, not just one.
But it, so again,
they're not doing everything that Diamond is. They're doing half of what Diamond was.
Right. Well, still, that was one company trying to distribute all of DC. This is two companies trying to distribute all of DC.
Well, three, because the trades are going to go through
Penguin Random House, who already does their trades. So that's just going to be. But they have the mechanism. I just don't know. You know, I know DCBS. Moved a lot of books, but this is a lot of books now. You know, all DC books are going to be going through those two guys. So, whatever, you know, 30% of the market suddenly going through those two guys. So, I hope they're ready. Yeah, for me, it's just a case of...
You know, my only argument against that is, but those guys are doing two individuals, right?
What do you mean?
They're not DCBS. I can order from DCBS and get books sent to me.
Correct.
So those guys are sending out. Those guys are fulfilling a lot of orders.
Right.
They're going to fulfill fewer orders, but they're going to be huge.
Right. That's all. It's the storage space for the volume of books they're going to suddenly need. Do they have?
But I would think in theory, if you're going from filling 1,000 orders a day, putting in additional orders on top of that. If your fulfillment system should still be able to handle that.
It should, but let's say they fulfill 1,000 orders of Batman a week, and all of a sudden now they're fulfilling 70,000 orders of Batman. There's just a storage space issue.
And they have because they set up the second company.
Right.
I'm assuming that there are either separate facilities.
Oh, I doubt it. I'm sure it's the exact same.
Yeah, you assume that there's efficiencies by scale. And
no, but I don't think they've had time to ramp up for that volume.
Yeah, but I think they have a plan. That's
maybe.
The difference.
DC may have a plan. I don't know if DC
I just don't know if they explained to them that they were doing this. So they might not be ready.
What I have heard is Diane Nelson posted on Facebook. I don't know if you're aware of this. Mm-hmm. But she had said that DC has been having problems because she's out.
Right.
She was an executive who's out at DC.
Yeah.
But she was saying that they have been having problems with Diamond for years, mm-hmm. going back to 2018, because they wanted Diamond to modernize and, you know, upgrade, like invest in their own business so that they could distribute better.
Right.
And Diamond basically just kind of went, no, we're the only guys in town. We don't have to make any concessions to you.
I don't know about that.
They didn't have a plan for the future. So when they violated their contract by not paying DC as a result of the coronavirus. DC said, okay, right. Now we're out of our contract. We can, we can roll out with some other providers. They did. They liked those providers' service level enough that they felt confident
right.
to pull the rug out of
Yeah, no, Diamond. I get that. But I'm just saying, I just don't know if they're ready for this kind of volume. That's all. I just hope they are, but I just think it's going from a couple hundred customer retail customers to 2,500 is a big step.
Right. But there are huge problems with Diamond.
Right. Well, the problems the Diamond had, a big problem was they built an entire new warehouse that they felt would be good to be set. Because the problem is every cover gets its own spot. Mm-hmm. And think about DC right now. Every one of their books now takes up two spots. Every Marvel book takes up 7 to 10 spots, where it was just one. So even though they created an extra 50,000 spots, they got taken up much quicker than they anticipated, because that box of that cover has to go somewhere. You can't just... So, and then you add in somebody like Dynamite, who has 10 covers for every issue, and all of a sudden that space that they thought, when they planned to make it, would be fine... They didn't anticipate all of that. You know, they thought when they planned space-wise. So that space got eaten up, and they can't just suddenly build another warehouse because they don't have the... You know, they're still paying for that.
Covers.
Well, no, but it's variant covers only in the sense of that box of that cover takes up a spot. And it has to... You know, they can't... Until that spot's sold out... Same with me. I only have so many spots on the wall. For me... When I get a new book, I have to make a hole and pull an old one off. They can't just pull a cover off. They have to have a spot. So I think that's part of their problem is the variant covers they were unaware of 10 years ago when they were building this warehouse.
Which I feel like if you modernize your POS, if you weren't just using a CSV, if you had APIs where you could actually reflect, you know, accurate inventory, put discounts on books, that you need to clear that space. Because I feel like if they
can't,
need to clear that
they
spells,
can't. They can. Diamond doesn't own those books. They can't discount any of the Marvel or DC stuff.
Right, but they can. They can tell. They can have ways of managing that.
Possibly.
If they have insight into that, right? There are ways to manage warehouses more efficiently.
Possibly.
It sounds like Diamond was not willing to do any of that.
Well,
right?
But all Diamond does is. Comic books, and I don't know what they're making per comic book.
Not a lot. But I think also DC was looking at their thing, not realizing, yes, but Marvel causes this problem, and this, you know, and where Diamond's looking at the whole, DC's looking at their pie.
Right.
You know,
I guess my biggest beef with Diamond is every week when I come in here, there is damaged signs.
That's UPS.
On everything.
That's UPS.
Is it though?
Yes.
Because
oh, absolutely. Do you want to see the box?
Is that like, Lunar wraps their stuff in bubble wrap,
sure,
and the boxes
sure.
are smaller,
absolutely.
So there's less
yep.
likely to hit on a corner.
Here's my problem. My shipping costs are going to be triple through Lunar and UCS. I already pay $250 to $300 a week shipping. If they were doing it, I'd be at $750 to $1,000.
This is where I'm lost on that.
Sure.
Because I'm not privy to this. I don't know the deals that Diamond had, because it seems like Diamond had different deals with everybody.
Well, it's by weight and it's by volume.
Right.
And a box that's full of packing paper and plastic wrap is going to cost more to ship because it's taking it. You can't get as many books in that box.
Right. But
so if they ship twice as many boxes.
What I'm seeing on social media is I'm seeing a bunch of posts from stores saying, like, it was $18 with Diamond, and now the same amount is going to be $24 with whichever of the two that they're going with.
Right.
So, yeah, there's definitely a big expense there. But you know, I think, and if you're international, you're even more.
Oh, you're screwed. Yeah.
Like, I don't think DC.
They didn't think that through.
Yeah, I don't think DC is going to be shipping books internationally, or maybe even not even into Canada.
Well, Canada, I think they're working with a deal right now, but international is going to be a
problem.
Because
it seems like you could just put it all in one truck, ship it over there, and then have somebody else distribute it.
But who?
Yeah.
That's not free.
And who wants to do that?
Right. And all of a sudden, you need a warehouse, you need that setup, and they gave no advance. They didn't set anything up, so lack of foresight there.
But at the same time, DC is kind of leaning on Lunar, and the other one. What's the other one?
Midtown. It's Midtown and DCBS. Midtown, yeah.
So,
but the problem is they're a U.S. company. Right. They could care less about Europe.
See, I think that's the big crime that DC committed is like just complete lack of communication to retailers, to their now service providers, and like I think that's causing most of the issue. Because everything I'm hearing, like they seem like temporary problems. Like the POS thing.
Oh, sure, sure.
Can,
no.
That's something you can get through.
The problem
but
with
if you
that
had more foresight, it wouldn't have been an issue.
That's the problem I have with it.
And you know, with the way the world is right now, can these stores that have already taken a beating take another beating that they didn't have to take had DC been been smarter.
Just been a plan. Hey, we're going to do this in X amount. We need to do X, Y, and Z. They just did it on their schedule, not looking at here's a potential problem, here's a potential problem, here's a potential. That's the thing. I wish they had talked to some retailers under an NDA or whatever. Just say what are the potential. What do we need to address? What do we need to look at?
This is where I feel like I would blame AT&T because I think this is probably
I don't think so. I think it's like the Diane Nelson picture. Where they had problems with Diamond and this was an easy way to get away from it. Which I understand, but I think a lot of these same problems are going to eventually rear their heads at these other two companies.
And saying just because you don't like Diamond doesn't mean you should cut your nose off, despite your, you know.
Well, they're not. They felt they had a plan to do it. I just don't know if they thought the way out.
I just worry because, like, you know, at least with Diamond, it's like it's one company that can screw something up. You know, you get these two things like. You know, shipping, like, what do you get books out to one distributor but not the other one? Or, like, you know, something weird like that happens. You have more opportunities for something stupid to happen.
Here's a good example. Just for DC not being aware. I got the new open and close sign for metal that I didn't order. They just sent, which is great, except the way they packaged it, it was bigger than a Diamond box. So it had to ship in its own larger box, and that was all that was in that box. So I paid whatever to ship a free sign because it wasn't designed for the boxes. And those boxes have been being used for forever. And again, they could have asked, hey, what are the dimensions of the box so we can make... Because the problem is the sign wasn't that big. The packaging was. And it was just one of those, thanks. So whatever I paid for that box was for a free sign. But you kind of learn to live with it. But just what I've been hearing is the shipping costs are a lot more. Because and also they use FedEx. One of them uses FedEx, which charges more. But yet, for them, the case was moving the most stuff as quickly and cheaply as possible. Like this week, I did have damages, but all over total, it was maybe 15 books, and it was from one box being just literally dropped right on the corner. That is not Diamond's fault. You know, that's UPS. 2 weeks in a row, I had wet boxes because someone at UPS, they had a leak at the Washington Center, and someone put it in a puddle, and it sucked up the water. That's not Diamond's fault. And you can't make a waterproof box for that. And that's 2 weeks in a row, but the first time in 14 years I've had water as an issue.
Yeah.
So it's like there's things they can't control. Yes, some of the packing is poor. Yes, sometimes they put pre-damaged books in a box. Part of the problem with that is they're paying Bob $7.50 an hour to grab one item from box A792 and put it in this box, and his job is not to judge. His job is to grab that and put it in.
And I've heard stories about them putting, like, you know, rare variants in with, like, statues and stuff.
Well, the problem is, here's the problem with that, and it's kind of self-imposed. People wanted them to bag and board the high-dollar variants. Great. The problem is once it's bagged and boarded, it doesn't fit in that box. So then it has to go in another box. So it won't fit with the regular comics because it's too big now, dimension-wise.
But again, if you were more modernized, you could have rules in place. Mm-hmm. No, Amazon definitely has stuff like that where they say...
I've got Amazon asset, stuff in giant boxes. Yeah, they got damaged from
rolling around. But I think there's a different
around.
Fulfillment centers. Okay. Because they will... When my understanding of the Amazon fulfillment center is when they place an order, they tell you the size box that you should be putting it in.
Okay.
So, you know, there is definitely stuff like that. That
but you're talking
you can
about the
doing.
Difference between a $1 trillion company and a company
but,
that has
right, but,
you know, revenue of how many millions?
Every improvement that you make is it leads to the snowball factor, right? And Diamond hasn't done anything in years.
Well, not that many. I mean, when I was out there in Memphis, they were building that warehouse, or retrofitting a warehouse. I was annoyed that we went there only because it wasn't done yet, and our entire tour was, over here will be, and over here will be. I'm like, why are we here? Why don't we come next year when we can see what it is? But the problem is those boxes are designed to hold 200 comics, not a bag and boarded comic, so it won't fit that. So then they put it in, like, and then they do those boxes with the hardcovers, so they put it in with the hardcovers, even though it is bagged and boarded, but sometimes they shift and get bent. That's the problem with it. It's kind of a, maybe they could box those up individually more, but then the problem is that's more expense for them that they would want to pass on to the companies making those variants. And it's a case of, if we shipped out 500 of these variants and two were damaged, that's an allowable error.
But so I just feel like Diamond is operating like they would have in the 80s and 90s, and they're not.
Maybe.
I'm not trying to be an asshole about this, I promise. You're taking information that, because it was on the internet. I mean,
yeah. And like I saw people complaining about their 1 in 25 Batmans were damaged. Mine were fine. So it's, you know.
I mean, I've worked in logistics for the last 25 years. It's not always that easy.
Yeah.
It sounds great. And yeah, when you have a $1 trillion company, you can do things that it's not that it's a mom and pop, but it is a mom and pop operation. Just they can't do. I mean, yeah, it'd be great if you know, oh, look on the computer, I need 6 of these, 4 of these. Okay, don't use that box, use that box. Mm. And it's automated. I've been to Target logistics places where as items come through, it kicks it out if it's damaged. Yeah. Well, Diamond can't do that.
The other problem is they want Diamond to modernize at the same time they want them to lower their costs to DC. So it's like, we can't make all these improvements and save you money at the same time.
Right.
And I think that was another problem. They felt Diamond was charging them too much. So that's and people are like, now Diamond's going to have to run more efficient now that they lost DC. I'm like, no, they still have fixed costs that they have to make up, so it's not suddenly going to get cheaper. I'm sure we're going to see our costs go up because of this. So,
yeah, I think that's the biggest question is, can Diamond
right? And if Diamond doesn't, we're all done.
Yeah.
Then the only people left are DCBS and Midtown.
But can Midtown stay afloat without Diamond? Because isn't Midtown's main business through Diamond?
Oh, probably, because, I mean, they get their Marvel comics, they get everything through them, except DC, which now ships to them directly. So, yeah, who knows? It's just, it's a big push of a domino, and nobody knows where it is. Hopefully,
not saying this would happen, but could Diamond turn around to DCBS and Midtown and go, fuck off?
Doesn't matter, they get their book. Well, what? For everything else?
Yeah,
possibly, but they, you know, I doubt
you're
they would.
Competition.
Yeah.
I doubt they would.
Who knows? Because I feel like the comic book industry doesn't have great contracts, especially like if DC is
historically
if DC is tied into them. For
well, there's definitely
years.
There is no contract between DCBS and Diamond at all.
Right.
You know, other than the basic all order stuff from you.
What I'm getting at is, like, I don't think that legally they could. They could do that and just say, no, we're not going to service you. Like,
why not?
Because how did they violate their terms of service? Right?
I can choose not to sell to you.
Not if I am not in violation of your service.
No, I can choose not to sell to you. As long as it's not based on a race,
a
sexual...
There's no contract.
But they have...
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, but...
DC Diamond cuts off stores all the time. Well, I mean, from not paying their bills,
right? But that's not paying your bill is a violation.
But
of
I
the
think in this
service.
Instance, I could definitely see them doing it just out
right,
of spite.
But I would think that DCBS or Midtown would have really good standings in court.
They could.
If they said, "Hey, look, we have never violated the terms of service. We have always paid our bill on time. They are cutting us off because of." A failed relationship that we benefited from.
Yeah. Right? No, I don't say they would. I doubt they would because I know they're like 5% of their business or something, according to the Marvel spreadsheet. But, yeah, who knows? just ugly. But yeah, just the problem for me as a store is just it made my life a whole lot harder. The other weird thing is, when they announced Tuesday as New Comic Day, just for DC Comics, it's like, why? And now all their marketing is based around Tuesday. And I'm like, why? That makes no sense.
I mean, I love coming here, but it's not going to be a destination 2 days
in a row. Yeah, you're not coming 2 days a week. But now we get people coming in on Tuesdays, and I'm unpacking, going, oh, do you want this? And of course, if they get their DC, they're going to want their Marvel, And it's just like, why are you creating a headache where there wasn't one? That's one I don't understand.
It's not their headache.
True. Yeah. True. And then just now, so now I get comics from one place, graphic novels from another place, and then we're going to find out Friday where we'll be allowed to order our statues and action figures from.
I'll be worried. Because all the news on Fridays haven't been good. I don't know where to get their stuff from.
The thing is, because we had to order that stuff so early, we have a ton of stuff on order. But it's all through Diamond, so all those orders are going to be canceled. And it's going to be a case of, well, do I reorder then? Because when you're paying for statues just in your Diamond bill, that's one thing. If I'm going to have to start cutting checks to a new company and doing it, especially somebody said it might be Sideshow, at which point I definitely will not be getting any statues or action figures anymore. So it's just, it's just a lot of questions where all of a sudden now I need three distributors where I had one, and well, now four technically, one for everybody else and three for just for Diamond or DC product.
Comic Hub will support that. It's eventually, right?
Oh, right. It's just a case of getting everything together.
You're sitting in better shape than most.
Right. Ordering wise, I'm okay, but it's still a problem. Just every week I go through and reorder the things I sold. Now I'm going to have to go through and just look at the DC items I sold, make an order, have to go onto their website and order those individual items, and then go and do a it's just, doubling up the work that I have to do, which just sucks.
Well, and I would assume that they have the same final order cutoff schedule.
Right.
So
that would be silly to mess that up.
You're going to have to do it even earlier in order for them to have it, in order to do it their final order cutoff.
What do you mean? I don't do the cutoff through Comic Hub. I do it direct.
No, but
they're
going to need it earlier to get the books in order to give to you.
What do you mean? I don't understand. Why would they need them earlier?
Well, maybe they won't. No, because if they're getting direct from the publisher...
Yeah, I don't see any... Yeah, there's not a big deal there. But it's just doubling up from reorders, initial orders... Yeah. Everything. And then it's going to be fun reordering trades, and then, they don't have these because it's not in the top 100, so now I have to go to another place to order that, and it's just like...
Do you think they'd be more expensive just kind of like coming through like Penguin? Like, do you think the
price... Penguin is going to be more expensive because the discount is less than I get on my normal DC stuff, so I'm going to be paying more for those graphic novels, yeah. And then it depends, let's say I only get five, but I'm paying whatever the flat rate shipping for a box only containing five graphic novels.
So that would make it hard for, how...
Yeah, so it adds $4 like per book just for shipping.
Like, whenever you first open up and everybody came and bought, like, a whole bunch of trades and stuff like that, it's going to be make it more difficult.
Yeah, it's just reorder, getting it back in is going
to
be...
Well, even if they have it available for you to get.
Do you think you'll restock less, or... Yes.
Not less, but those trades you bought, I'm not reordering. Okay. I'm only going to keep the top DC trades.
Watchmen you'll always have.
The Young Animal, I won't be reordering as it sells because it's a deadline, and what's the point of carrying it? Because it's going to be harder to restock and more expensive to restock, so it's easier not to do it. It's a financial thing. If I'm paying an extra dollar or two to get it from a different company than I had before...
Well, that's a dollar.
And especially if it's just sitting on the shelf. Ones you bought, I'd never sold a copy of before. So it's like, I don't know how old they are. But even though it's Batman, I don't need every Batman trade.
Yeah.
So, it'll definitely be a lot more cautious. Yeah. Especially New 52 stuff, definitely going to blow that stuff out and not reorder. Because there's no reason to have it anymore.
If somebody came in and was just like, hey... Would you still be able to get the New 52 volume whatever at Batman?
I'll probably keep the Batmans, but like the Red Hood and the Outlaws, Green Arrow, Birds of Prey, that kind of stuff, I wouldn't. So yeah, it's just gonna where normally I wouldn't have even thought twice about reordering something. Now things are gonna go through a lot more. Okay, or And then having to write things down until I get enough to reorder from Penguin. Yeah. Like, I need to wait till I have 50 trades to reorder.
Yeah.
You know, but literally it's going to be pen and paper or spreadsheet on the computer because I don't...
Yeah.
Comic Hub is designed to reorder from one place. You know, and it's funny, I was listening to a podcast...
Well, what does that do for subs? So if I, you know, I have subscriptions for DC.
The concern there...
fed by... preview, or it's not being right, fed by Diamond.
Right. Well, basically it's just like a series code, so it's going to depend on how he can switch those to whatever the new ones are, depending on which I go with. You know, it's just it's creating a lot more whatever. Yeah. It should hopefully all just transfer over easily.
Should.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. But it was funny, they were saying, you know, I just don't understand why all these, you know, POS systems were set up just to order from Diamond. It's like, because that was the only place to order from. I wanted to yell at the radio as I was driving, just going, what are you talking about?
I think there might be a perception that the comic book stores are not using a comic book specific POS.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, Diamond was the only place to order this stuff from, so why would it have been set up for anybody else? Right, like TKO.
A lot of comic book stores, you walk in and you pay with the Square.
Right.
And I think people would make assumptions when, oh, I'm paying with Square. So they're using the same thing that I do when I, you know,
oh, gotcha.
Buy a sandwich from the...
Right,
you know, the,
right. It's a little more, vendor, yeah. Right? They've tried. Well, that's basically what the comic suite was. It was Microsoft RMS, which was their kind of generic... inventory management system that they then modified for comics. But, yeah. And the subscription thing is completely unique to comics. Most places, most stores you don't go to get a, you know, have
right,
a subscription.
Right, but if I get, so like right now, today, I go on Comics Hub and I say, okay, well, I want this, and this. But if DC isn't working right now with Comics Hub, I'm not going to be able to say, hey, I want...
Well, we have, because the current catalog is in Diamond, you're fine.
Yeah, but what would, like, the next
catalog? What's next?
That, we have time, because that's not till the July book. It's not going to come out till the end of June. He has 2 or 3 weeks to get things sorted out. But it's just a case of matching up the data, because everything's going to be the same. It's still Batman. It's still, it's just a case of making sure the orders carry over. And doing it for two at the same time. That's, I guess, his... Where he has to make sure to get it done, depending if I go with Lunar or UCS, because I'm sure they're going to have different order codes and different everything, just to be fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just adding a lot of work and confusion. And then, you know, there's the thing, you know, what if in 3 weeks they decide that they're not printing comics anymore? You know, it's, you know, I wouldn't put that past them at this point, the way they've been making changes. I honestly don't see them still printing comics by the end of the year. So. Because they seem hell-bent on this digital... Because the digital concern for me comes from getting rid of the dollar books and the facsimile editions that sold well for me. I don't know how they... Maybe they didn't do well overhaul, but...
Could that be COVID-related? Just are the printers just...
It could be, but the fact that they canceled all outstanding ones seems odd. Why not just delay them? You know, it just... So we'll see if there's more coming up in the next couple months, but... Part of my concern with that is since those are already on the digital platform, they don't have a way to sell them digitally.
Yeah. I think they probably made some editorial changes, so you might want to change the reprints you're putting out to be
possibly most
the storylines.
Well, most of those were bait. Like, well, yeah, like there was a Man-Bat book, so they were reprinting Man-Bat 1, so they may have gotten rid of that Man-Bat book too. So that could be, but just when they just. There was a swath of we canceled these 70 books. It was like, whoa. It was a little eye-opening. Like, oh dear, what's going on? So, but the main thing right now, there's just a lot of lack of trust with DC because they've changed so many things that didn't seem broken on our end the last few weeks.
Or just even, like, not, like, information, because with each thing that they've dropped each Friday, and it's like, oh, okay, well, how that's going to work? I don't know.
Right.
You know, like...
A big concern is we're like, what's the big picture? Because you're making little nibbles on the way to something. What's the something? Why aren't you telling us? And obviously, since you're not telling us, it's not good for us. So we're all kind of starting to think the worst. you know, you wouldn't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably just a bad corporate culture.
Could be.
DC. Or they know that it's an issue, but they're, you know, getting...
Yeah, well, they keep dropping it on Friday and then not answering. And they're like, oh, that's corporate things, because then they'll forget about it by Monday. But in this day and age,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what day you post it. The internet's out there. But, yeah, it's just interesting that they keep posting stuff on Fridays. Yeah.
And I feel honestly, like, people can go crazier over the weekend than they can on a Monday.
Well, and the other thing is...
I don't pay as much attention during the week.
Yeah, they drop these things and then don't respond, don't answer questions. Like, I was looking the last time I looked, I think it was, like, Sunday, I was just sitting here and read the thread, and it was over 500 comments. And some were not kind.
Some are not going to be kind no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the thing. I feel like there are people who hate Diamond,
mm-hmm.
and there are people who hate and hate DC, and you know, and that's where it's just like
I don't love either, but I really really liked DC for a very long time, and now, like I said, I just don't trust them. They're not doing anything in my, I don't even want to say my best interest, but even giving me even consideration at this point.
Yeah.
To say that this is for my benefit, and yet they just doubled my work and expenses, it's like, how does this help me? I don't understand. I'm going to pay more for the same product. My answer to you is put out better product. You know?
Yeah, but I would argue that DC, for like at least the next 6 months, I feel like they have the most like high-profile books with, what is it, Dark Death Metal and... Three Jokers, which I think is going to be huge just because everybody's been waiting for it forever. But what's Marvel doing?
Right. Empire. No, I hear you there, but they have a Wonder Woman movie coming. What's going on in Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Right, but what's going on in Wonder Woman? I don't think anybody, you know, there's nothing of note. You know, they haven't made a big push behind it, a new storyline, a new writer. You know, they haven't really done anything. So that's my concern. They have a couple big books, but... You know, I think back, you know, where's the Green Lantern when it was, you know, Geoff Johns, Sinestro Corps War? Why, you know, it's just meandering.
Yeah.
You know, most of their line is just kind of meandering. I'd like to see, you know, how about every book should be, you know,
and this is awesome. like you were saying, they have all these big books out. Now is like a weird time to kind of make it more difficult or challenging to get those big books that are coming out.
Yeah. But... What time of the year is Batman not the bestseller?
Right.
Like, I feel like every comic story is going to have to continue to sell DC.
But I want them to focus beyond Batman.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You have other titles. You know, let's make Flash huge. You know, you had a Flash 750 that was kind of met with a... Yeah.
But I almost feel like the books that become giant hits for them, it is through no, like... orchestration.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't think they went, oh, we're going to put Geoff Johns on Green Lantern and he's going to talk about five-color rings and it's going to be huge. King on, you know.
Right, but I'm thinking like Justice League right now with Venditti is kind of an afterthought because they needed to fill the gap between Snyder's run and
Death Metal. Yeah.
And it's like, you're putting out meh books intentionally? That doesn't make sense to me that, you know, that's not the best Justice League book you could put out. It's a space
film. Yeah, because I was excited when he was on Justice League. I jumped on and then found out, oh, this should have happened some other time, and it's just a placeholder until
the
guy comes on board.
And I'm still
at $4
it.
A pop every other week. Yeah,
it's like, I'm not into it.
Yeah,
and like I'm reading them, and it's okay, but it's just because of the stuff, like how like that with that happened, it just kind of takes some of it out of the book, like the knowing that none of it kind of really matters, or that, you know, just kind of weird stuff going, you know, all that weird stuff going on.
The other thing that they really need to work on is their promotion. Like, they had the creator change on Justice League Dark, and it was, you know, Rom V, who's got, you know, a little buzz behind his name with these Savage Shores and stuff, but they just, I didn't see anything about it. I mean, granted, I'm not looking everywhere, but it's just, I'd love to see their hype machine, or them have a hype machine. That's one thing I definitely think they've forgotten, is that they need to pump their books, because they've lost their salesmen in the store. Most stores are like me, it's like, whatever, I'll shelve your books, but don't expect me to get excited about them.
The other thing is, the Comicron Top 300, like, I feel like that is a promotional tool, because like if you have a book in the top 100,
right, and now
it
that's,
has buzz,
yeah,
and
they just pulled all their books from it.
That's probably not a thing anymore,
right? Well, yeah, I mean, they'll still be it, but there just won't be any DC in it because they won't have any DC.
It's not a.
Well, it's not, but I'm sure DC's not going to send them their numbers. If DC did. But I think that's part of it.
They did, but I have a feeling their numbers are going to be lower.
Well, and I think that's, somebody mentioned, is that part of it? They got tired of being crushed in the sales charts, and that, is that part of it, the reason that they pulled out, so that they couldn't be in the sales charts?
Yeah, because I'm sure someone at AT&T is sitting mm-hmm. there going,
why are we only 26% of the market or whatever? Yeah.
And I think had they been better in the sales charts, DiDio might have been around a little longer. Yeah. If you're a jerk and you're the bestseller, you've got a little more leeway.
Yeah.
But
in this day and age, you just think with so many more women readers and stuff, how is Wonder Woman and Batgirl not doing better, and why aren't they doing better? And it doesn't seem like they ever thought to address that. They just said, oh, here's a new writer.
Well, isn't one of the
and didn't really... I don't know. I don't know how you promote and get people excited in a book.
Is that a fair analogy, though? That because there's more readers that they have to be read... Women readers, they have
no,
to be...
No, not at all. But I'm thinking... normally, you know... Wonder Woman might be a harder sell, but here's an opportunity where you can... I don't want to say aim it towards a certain market, but there's an opportunity to say, you know, everybody should be reading Wonder Woman. And they're not. They're really, really not. And I don't see them doing anything to get people...
No, but it's also... We're not.
Right.
I mean, longtime readers have jumped off those books, too.
Right.
You know, I used to read Wonder Woman, and I used to read Batgirl.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm fine.
But
find something else.
I do think, like, the only... I tend to follow writers.
Mm-hmm.
So... But there are so many more female writers in comics, I would think, especially ones that come from other mediums. And,
I
would think that those writers, you could put on any book, and because of their name, there would be a certain threshold or a certain floor of...
Like, I know there was a big thing with Rainbow Rowell taking over Runaways, and I don't think I ever sold more than 3 copies of it. So I don't know where those readers went. Although I know the first issue was not good. It was not new reader friendly, which is not a good start. But yeah, I don't know. But they're going to need to work a lot harder, just because I'll push Adventure Man, even though I didn't read it, because it's Image. They made it returnable. It was a nice, you know, triple thick book by creators that you know. Here, try this. I ordered a whole bunch. DC, you're going to need to work a little harder to get me to even do that, because you've made my life harder
now. And how hard can you push the 6th? Batman
book. Right. Oh, exactly. Like, you know, Batman's Grave that came out today. I honestly was like, oh, this is still coming out. You know,
and that's actually good.
Right.
But no one would ever notice. Because,
no, I mean, it had buzz. It was Brian Hitch. It was Warren Ellis. But it's just, it's yet another Batman book. And then they did, like, and today, how insane is this? You had Batman. You had
Secret
Batman's
Files.
Grave, Batman Secret Files, Nightwing.
Joker.
The Joker special.
Batman, New Adventures. The reprint of the first.
Why did all that ship in 1 week when last week we had Detective? You know, and next week we have nothing.
And the animated series one would have made perfect sense last week. We could stick an ad in the and get people to buy it for $1 or $2.
Or the Batman Secret Files that didn't tie in with anything. But that's... Or they'll blame Diamond. Oh, well, we didn't tell them what week to ship them. You knew the writing was on the wall when one of the senior vice presidents blamed Diamond for all the shipping, book shipping. Like, we got 2 issues of Flash 1 week, and that was Diamond's fault. I'm like, I'm going to say you sent them at the, there's no way you sent them 2 weeks apart and Diamond messed up so bad that one didn't, it's just.
Yeah, they didn't hold them.
No.
That doesn't do them any good.
Exactly.
Because they got to pay you whether or not they...
So it seemed like a lot of passing the buck. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like... And the way it was so snarky and just with venom towards Diamond, it was like, oh, this is not good. So, and then proved to be true.
Is that like... Just on Twitter or in a Facebook group or like... Where?
It was in an email to us and a Facebook group. The DC Facebook group.
You would have that tone in a corporate...
Yeah.
Well, that's my question. Why has it become okay to be an asshole on social media. If I have a problem with Colin, like I come in here and there's an issue, I'll say, "Hey, Colin, what the hell?" You know, or if I go to Colin and he tells me, pound sand, I might put him on blast on it, but not just like, look what I'm doing. Like, that's...
Yeah, I'll be snarkier to Colin in person than I would be on social media.
Yeah.
Other people can read it. But I feel like corporations especially, they are, clamping down on what their employees say.
Yeah.
Or, they're giving at least strong guidelines to... you represent the company even though you may not be, speaking in an official capacity on Twitter or whatever. But
and we're not talking about Joe's hot dog shop. We're talking about one of the largest media companies in the world.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world right now, and I'll navigate it as best I can. Hopefully you guys won't see any problems. It's going to be me just doing more work on home on the computer. It's just going to be a lot more pen and paper, trying to figure stuff out.
We encourage you to work with us. It's like,
the tone was just wrong, but it's
the kind of thing where it's like, it's like Trump with the governors.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you're the president. Yeah. You're the head honcho.
And why not take neutrality?
It's going to go.
There was a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. Why leave it to the 50 governors?
There was a mistake in getting the books to Diamond. We're sorry for the error, blah, blah, blah. Instead, we shipped them in time. We don't know why they didn't send them to, it was very acute. And you read that and you kind of went, oh, that's not good. So, but yeah, we'll see where all this goes. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Hey. I almost feel like it would be better to not give you an explanation at all
than to give us that one. I agree. I agree 100%.
Why are you going away from Diamond? Because we are.
Yeah.
It's a corporate decision. Because
you guys keep whining about them. We can't do anything. Yeah.
Okay, hang on. I want to find out.
Sometimes you just want to change things up. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Changing things up.
Okay, hang on. I want to find that one question.
Will these distributors just be DC, or will they be successful enough to start pulling in?
That's the question, companies? And we're kind of hoping.
Then you just have another diamond on your hand.
Well, you have maybe two diamonds. Let's say I'm an executive at Dark Horse, and I go, you know what? People are ordering there. I'm hearing good things. Packaging, the shipping rates have come down. The international.
Yeah, but if you're going to go to one anymore. Of them, you're going to go to. You're going to have both Midtown and the other one.
But
like,
if I'm a publisher, I want some level of redundancy between. If I could have Diamond and these other two be shipping for me.
That's the thing. Where if they were doing Diamond and one of these other two, but if they just go with one of these other two, then.
See, and I think that's why DC had to cut ties with Diamond, because I bet when they said, hey, there's these other two, every 90% of comic book stores were probably like, you know what, I'll just wait and I'll stick with Diamond. I'm not open anyway.
Yeah.
Right? They had to do that to force retailers to work with these other two.
Okay, so questions. From Jeremiah is asking, who should be upgraded from the Teen Titans to Justice League?
Not Cyborg.
I haven't read Teen Titans in years, so I don't even know who's on the team.
Beast Boy.
Yeah.
Raven.
Yeah.
Raven.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... Teen Titans were great as its own thing, especially like my classic Titans, which, Raven, Starfire, Cyborg, Beast Boy, Nightwing.
Yeah.
Them alone.
But Dick Grayson was on the Teen Titans at one point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could totally see Nightwing replacing Batman
a little while. Yeah, but, I mean, you already have a Batman.
And Dick Grayson was Batman for a while.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think they ever wrote him on... I don't think they ever wrote him on Justice League in that.
There was one storyline back, like, toward... I don't know if it was Grant Morrison's run. Like, I can't remember, first of all, he was writing it, but it was that series. Mm-hmm. I think it was closer to the 100, to, like, the issue hundreds, right? So he didn't, so he probably didn't do it. But they did something where, like, all the heroes kind of got taken off the board. So it was, like, Nightwing and, like, he let some other people, because, you know, Batman had a plan that he followed. Something like that. It's been a while since I read it. But that's the only thing I could really think of.
Because they were, like, essentially the teen sidekick, so, you know,
they were the Justice League.
Yeah, they
League.
Didn't need to move up.
Well, so, now that's kind of like, that's weird, like, that's like kind of like the Young Justice kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
like, they're also kind of like a Teen Titans, especially now, too, like, because they're older. They're not, like, you know, like, like young kids anymore.
And
that's
then,
the plot of The Boys, effectively. The the kid getting promoted up.
Yeah.
And then, what are your thoughts on the Young Justice TV show? But I don't watch it, so I don't.
I've never watched it.
Mm-mm. No, I've never watched it.
Yeah, never watched.
Okay, so see there. That's why we didn't answer the question before.
Or streaming service is it even on?
It's on.
I'm assuming
DC. I think it's on DC.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it on air? I don't know.
Well, the first two seasons was like on Cartoon Network back in the day, and then it got canceled, and then it got picked back up whenever DC started their thing.
I think it was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, and it was like, now it's like Young Justice and the Outsiders or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of
them read something that was really good. But
oh, if they like, once it's done, if it like that they put it all out on like a collective, like Fox set or something, I would pick it up and watch it. But
a lot of those DC movies, like, I'll put it on, and I will be bored.
Yeah, I put them on here, and I couldn't tell you what happened in it.
A lot of comic booky dialogue does not
doesn't translate.
Yeah, it doesn't work when it's in my head. It's fine, but when
you animated,
yeah.
Okay, Zach asked, "Does DC really think they'll be able to get Raina Telgemeier numbers at bookstores if they push for more original graphic novels?" I think they do. I don't see it happening.
She's the all the books with the smiley faces, right?
Yeah, but she, you know, it's like,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, she did Smile and Sisters, and she's the hot writer right now.
If you saw the cover, you'd go, "Oh, I've seen that."
Yeah,
but yeah,
but it's like they also don't have 100 Raina Telgemeiers out there doing books. And the problem is, because YA is suddenly hot, everybody's flooding that market. So you're just adding another book into that market. And I don't think you're going to see the comparison where Batman, an original Batman graphic novel, is suddenly going to sell millions of copies.
And
I don't see it happening.
The trouble with just going like a whole bunch of original graphic novels is, like, say, like, I picked up the complete collection of Freedom Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I looked at the first couple of issues, they seemed interesting enough, but I didn't want, like, a 12-issue series.
Dave thought it was one of the best things I've ever read.
But, yeah, like, Dave and John, like, people kept on talking about it, so you get this hype for the first couple of issues, and then the trade, you know, you might not get a whole bunch of it, but, you know, you get that extra boost of people who didn't want the single issues and then get the trade, but you don't have that.
Or if they just dropped a Freedom Fighters $25 trade.
Yeah, who would
how many they're going to sell?
Pick it up. Yeah.
Well, with the original graphic novels, they can work. I mean, like, I really enjoyed the Earth One stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some,
but
like
when
the Killing Joke,
they dropped that completely.
Well, no, because Green Lantern Part Two was in preview.
Right.
Oh, was
but
it?
I'm just saying that's something we should get one a month.
Yeah. But, like, you know, the Killing Joke has become part of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do that with, you know, that's kind of the issue with the graphic novels,
right?
Is do you keep them out of continuity or do you put them in? Because understand your audience. Comic book fans are sticklers for continuity.
Yeah.
You have to make it make sense.
Yep.
When you start getting competing
back. Right. And then if they're all just standalones.
No sense at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think DC has really confused tone, just in general, right? Because you've got the Teen Titans on Cartoon Network that is a completely different tone than the Snyder Cut, and those are probably the two biggest examples of, you know, at least, you know, and the Harley Quinn movie,
TV
like,
show,
the
yeah.
tone on that was
yeah.
so,
yeah.
like...
Well, it's trying to take characters that in one medium you can do one thing with them, but in another medium you can take them another way. I love Teen Titans Go. I know it's stupid. I love that show, though. But, like, if I saw that in a comic book, I wouldn't want to read it. It wouldn't work. But in that medium, it works.
And they have had comic book tie-ins to that show, and none of them were huge hits. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But, if I see Harley Quinn in a movie, I want her to be Harley Quinn. Not a toned down version of Harley Quinn. That, if you're making the subject matter more adult, make it adult. I think in the Suicide Squad there was some gratuitous things that they probably went a little too far with, but not I'm complaining, but show her killing people because that's what she is. Like, she is psychotic. Show her doing that.
Yeah. I just think if they want to do those kind of numbers, they're going to have to do a lot more promotion. They're going to have to do a lot more work that they don't do. So,
if only they had a multimedia conglomerate.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. But again, they're expecting me to pay $20 a piece for their promo posters. So,
and they give it to you 3 months late.
Yeah. Mm. So, I just don't know if they have the...
They're called promo, not primo.
Yeah, but I just don't know if they're internally set up to promote books to make it sell a million copies is not just going to put it out there and expect it to sell a million copies, which is where they're at right now.
Any comic book to sell a million copies.
No, but I'm just saying if they want to be Reyna, that's what they need to do. So
That's upset. I don't
know. I hear you.
I think 5 years ago, 6 years ago, they might have been able to do it, but I don't think today they can.
Joey asks, do you play Marvel Strike Force? I do not.
No. I have... I feel like there are better cell phone games.
Is that like one of those card games?
I think that is. It's you do like little battles, but you play a little good game. I think that's the one I played. I don't know. They all run together. I might have played a different.
Because they have a couple of different kind.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I played Marvel something. I don't know, but I wasn't.
It was
impressed.
A card game.
No, I'm guessing it's a
card game on your phone.
On your phone, because okay,
yeah,
because there was like one called Overpower that was,
yeah. I feel like they license out to so many like different companies. It's hard to keep track of that. No, you know what? I played Marvel Puzzle Quest. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't Strike Force.
Okay, so no, sorry.
I used to play with Avengers Alliance or whatever it was, and then when Disney bought Marvel, they shut down that whole game, and after that, I'm like, well, I'm not buying a cell phone game that they can just up and decide, we're not going to let it run anymore. We're just going to shut it down. Like, okay.
Okay, Jason asked thoughts on DC splitting from Diamond. I think we covered that one.
Well, let me tell you.
Nick asked, do you think TKO Black Mask will stop giving stores money from their online sales now that COVID restrictions are easing? Yes, I'm expecting that to stop soon.
I think they even made an announcement of that. Okay. They had like TKO put out an email that was like, this is the last week or something like that.
Which is fine. Which is fine.
But the thing with TKO, they have like 6 books.
Yeah.
Or maybe 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I own half the line that I'm going to buy. It's like, you know, they just don't put out enough to really like, you know, make it. And they haven't announced a Wave 3, I don't think. So like,
not yet, no.
Yeah.
And would I support all publishers giving online sales the option of giving stores money going forward? Not really. I think this was unique in the sense of stores couldn't be open to sell the books. So buying online was the only option, and that was nice of them to give us a cut because we couldn't be open. But other than that, it's my responsibility to stock the product and have it to sell. So I wouldn't expect or ask them to do that going forward.
What I would love that I don't think this industry could ever do would be if I could go to a single like website and order like ship to store. So if I could get like something that's out of print that maybe you're not going to stock,
right, and then
but
bill
I could
me,
get it
yeah.
free shipping if I ordered through you, and you know the next time they send you 50 books, it's in there, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that's the only thing that I could see being cool.
Okay, that's it for questions. Pat, you want to start talking about books?
Sure. So I read Dear Becky.
I read that too. The Boys, Dear Becky.
Yeah. So, it's really difficult sometimes understanding Scottish slang. I'm sitting like, I can. What the hell is she? Oh, I understand. and you're like, I'm trying to, okay, I got to read everything three times to try to figure out what they're saying. But there was a good setup to it.
Okay, so quick question. I did not read the full run of The Boys.
I don't think you need to.
Should I know who Becky is? Because I don't remember.
It's Butcher's wife.
Okay.
Billy Butcher's wife.
Yeah, I didn't read
the pre-story is a pre-Huey Boys story. So the stuff that, like, he's reading about, all that stuff was pre-The Boys series. So it's dealing with an event that happened a long time ago. But yeah, that's Butcher's wife. In the comics, to give away a little bit if you haven't watched it, is Homelander raped his wife, impregnated her, and the baby basically with laser vision floated out of her, killing her. And then Butcher then killed the baby, and that's why he hates the Homelander so much. So this is a story about Becky, about his wife.
And at least in this issue, it's being told through a diary that we don't know how Huey got yet.
Correct.
But it's a diary that was Becky's, that Butcher was writing in after her death.
Correct.
Because that was his way to talk to her after she was gone. I don't know, it's kind of weird because, like, it almost softens the character.
Yeah. My only problem with this book was the beginning of it. And the bar scene and him talking to his trans friend. And that just seemed to go on a little too long.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That was my only problem, as I'm reading it just going...
It was like half the book was
yeah, spent this bar conversation that. About him calling him Bobby with an I, not Bobby with a Y. And it was just like, what? So that was my only problem with it. It took a little too long to get into the story.
Yeah. You know, we haven't seen Annie yet, and we haven't, right. You know, we haven't really, we know, you know, Huey has some PTSD involved in his time with the boys.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe stuff happened. I don't know. Spoiler
alert. This is like 10 years after the boys, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a time like in real time, huh? Because the boys have been done for a while, right? About like 10 years? How long?
Yeah, I think 10 years after. Yeah. Yeah. Took him a long time to ask her, boy.
Yeah, well. Yeah. But I did enjoy it for what it was. I just wish it would have either gotten on a little bit faster.
It gave us a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to end it on that cliffhanger, but it took a little too long to get there.
Yeah. And the other one I read was Detective Comics.
I read that.
Yeah, I read that one.
So... That was interesting. I thought that the whole idea of the church of Harvey Dent was a little odd to begin with. But now we find out why it's the church of Harvey Dent. And it goes all the way back to the very beginning of New 52.
Oh, yeah.
With the sewn-on-face Joker. Like the heist where Harvey was shot and all that was from what, Batman and Robin number 28, which was that New 52 or pre New 52?
It had to be 52, I would think.
Well, because there was the Batman and Robin was running before that.
Yeah.
Did they explain how Joker got his face fixed?
Yeah, that chemical at the end when both he and Bruce died and came back through whatever that chemical thing was.
Okay, at the end of death of the family.
Yeah. No, it was after that. It was...
Well, no, that was the incident where they fell in whatever it was.
And then it went into that whole Mr. Bloom story that I was talking about somebody online with. I'm like, I didn't get that.
It was a rebirth, you know, spring rebirth.
Yeah, and that's why he was giant walking through the city at 100 feet tall. Sure, okay, whatever.
Such is life.
And we had Bunny Batman robot, Commissioner Gordon.
But I did think Batman covered in acid was badass. That was the best part of the book, in my opinion. Especially when he he breaks the tank and then saves the guys with the having them all hang on the wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hardest part at this point is because there was such a break between
remembering
the books, is remembering what was going on. That's why I'm looking forward to Batman because I'm hoping I really enjoyed the designer, the designer, the architect, or whatever it was. Yeah, I was really enjoying that before the COVID pause.
My only problem with this story was it's like this is the second story that dealt with like a crazy cult church thing since. Because the whole Arkham Knight thing, that was only a
2-issue thing.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying he's only a couple of story arcs into his run, and two of them's already dealt with churches ran by bad guys.
Well,
I feel like henchmen are always kind of culty, though.
Well, yeah,
yeah, that's true. But I think this was a story that may have been
Joker War. I thought it, and I liked it. I thought it was good. I was just like, that's really another one? Like, how many, churches we got here in Gotham?
But since this is all running into Joker War, we're not going to get any resolution on the Harvey thing for months.
If at all.
Yeah. So that's kind of the disappointing thing. That's all I read.
The only book that I read that... it wasn't mentioned because I only read 2 books. Star Trek Year 5, number 11, I think, maybe 12. I don't remember. But it's the start of a new arc. It's a new writer. I think the artist is the same because it's very consistent art. Someone returns from the original series that I don't recognize. It's Mr. Seven and Isis.
Hmm.
So it's like a cat, and then this guy who can turn invisible, who. I'll have to go back and rewatch the episode. I didn't recognize the guy. But anyway, he breaks into the Enterprise and turns himself invisible. The cat that's with him, it's like a sentient cat, it can talk. And it hides under the thing. And then Kirk and Spock have a debrief because in the last arc, Kirk was unconscious. So Spock had to, deal with the first contact situation, and it didn't go well. It went really bad, millions of people died, but but anyway, they have that conversation, and then this guy goes to the engineering invisible and basically takes over the ship. So Kirk evacuates the ship. So everyone is off the ship, and now Kirk is left with himself and I think it's Mr. Steven or Steven Seven, something like that. Which I'm sure it's because this is year 5.
Gary Seven?
Gary Seven. Thank you. Gary Seven. Do you remember the episode?
I remember the character name, but I don't think I remember the episode.
Yeah.
What happened in the episode?
Yeah. He wears a suit. He has a cat named Isis, who I think is a woman who shapeshifted, something like that.
Okay.
So
I can't remember.
Maybe I'll get on Memory Alpha and figure it out. But yeah. So it's a new arc. It's that last series was really good. It feels like the 60s Star Trek, but modernized. Because there's a lot of the last. The aliens from the last arc, they lived underwater and they were fluid in all ways. Like, they changed their form, they changed their gender, they do all kinds of things like that. And Sulu fell in love with a fish lady, effectively. So there's a lot of very very more modern ideas put back into that Star Trek, and it works really well. It's been really good. So. Oh, that's it for me.
Now Biter returns. It starts out with a flashback, I think it's 20 years ago before any of the stuff happens with the previous series, of just another kind of ritual kind of killing where, you know, the killer that you don't see is, like, burns his, like, his victim's eyes out with acid, which probably is deals with if you see the front cover of the issue when it's, like, worn, the nail biter drowning in, like, a sea of eyeballs kind of things. But then, so then it jumps to, like, present day where, like, the group of, like, these, like, three female friends are talking about, you know, favorite serial killer this or, you know, horror thing that. And then it comes up to, like, you know, one of the last questions, you know, favorite Buckaroo killer, you know, because everybody's from that, you know, from the previous series. So they use that to kind of, you know, show the highlights of someone like, you know, the killers that they've had from the previous series. And they talked about the, you know, there was a rumor that the nail biter, you know, got his high school girl pregnated and got pregnant and had a kid and, you know, trying to go over a little bit of the stuff that happened in the previous issue. And because the bar that it's in, like, it's like a horror themed bar. So the daughter was there, they get into a little fight, her friends get her to leave, she goes home to talk to her mom, and she's not there, and, like, the bathroom is just, like, just covered in blood. But, so she tries to track down, Fitch, who's the detective from the previous series, who's in the middle of another case that, the kill kind of looks like a freak, like multi-car accident. So she sneaks up on him there, and, they talk for a minute, and he goes and, takes her I can't remember two houses, if it was like his house or for somebody else, but he pulls a book off the bookshelf and it moves, and down in the secret department, there's one, the nail biter, because the daughter was worried that it was him, because, like, they never found him at the end of the last, you know, issue, so they thought it was him trying to get back, so he's there, so I have a feeling it's going to be kind of like, he's going to be kind of be like the Hannibal Lecter. You know, he's gonna help them find her, figure out this, you know, who this new killer is and stuff like that. But it was pretty good, you know. If anybody liked the last series, I would recommend, you know, picking up this one. Batman and the Outsiders, this is the 12th issue. It seems like they're really kind of gearing up to the end of the story arc. Basically, all the team members are finally back together. They decide they're going to go after Raj. Whenever they go to his hideout, they find all of, like, he has, like, three or four of, like, the people that was helping him that in different ways have betrayed members of the Outsiders, and they're all either dead or dying. And then this, where, like, a hologram of Raj comes up, and he has this device. And with it, he can literally, like, control any, like, Earth, like the actual, like, Earth, like, the ground and soil, like, anywhere on the planet. So he shows him that there's, like, this little village that Shiva lived in after leaving, like, the League of Assassins. And he just causes, like, a big, like, sinkhole, like, earthquake and destroys it. And he's like, I can do that anywhere. And unless if you stop chasing me and start, and, you know, trying to stop me, you know, I'll do it to Gotham, I'll do it to Metropolis, you know, whatever. And then, so then, of course, it ends with, like, Batman, like, oh, we're gonna stop him and stuff. So, it seems like this first kind of story arc is coming close to ending. And the last one I read was Batman, Superman, number 9. This is starting off a new story arc, the Atomic Skull. He is, like, running through Gotham, and the police are chasing him, and Batman's talking to him because it looks like he killed a couple other police officers, and because I guess in like the in the Superman book, he's kind of changed to like a good guy. I guess he was like a warrant or like a guard at one of the prisons there, so it's kind of a surprise that, you know, that he's doing this. But it turns out that like somebody's messing with him and somebody's coming like after Batman, so that's why he's there, to try to warn Batman. But then something happens and he explodes. They're in like a
extreme,
an abandoned part of Gotham that from that nobody's at because of the Bane stuff, you know. So like nobody really got hurt. And then like, Superman's off in Metropolis, and he hears like the explosion. He comes flying in, and you know, gets Superman out of like this pile of rubble and stuff. And like, you know, Batman tells him, you know, everything that's going on, and it seems it's a gorilla. I'm not sure which one it is, because you know there's a couple talking gorillas in DC. But one of them is like using
Great Ape being the best, of course.
Yeah. It's controlling them, and like it's trying to make like an atomic army. So but it was pretty good, and that was it.
The only other one I read was Hellblazer, which I thought was outstanding. Start of a new arc, the kid who's the mute kid who is operating as his driver is in the hospital visiting his mom, and sees this girl, really pretty girl, walking down the hall, and he'd seen her a couple times before. So he goes out, and on his sign that he has written, it's like, "Hi, my name's whatever, what's yours?" And this girl just kind of walks past him, and she walks into this room, and he goes and kind of follows, peeks around the corner, and there's this, you know, huge creature like sucking the soul out of something, and he kind of is like, whoa, out of there. So then I guess he talks to Constantine, and Constantine the next day is sitting in the room where this creature comes in and confronts her, and this thing attacks him, and he's like, it's okay because he's British. And in the end, what it works out is that it's this woman in this first room who is just angry. She's British and is angry at all these minorities, all these, you know, not refugee, immigrants into Britain who have, and like each one gave their little story while they had like devoted their whole life to England, but they weren't a citizen, and she was like attacking them each time, this, you know, just this hatred just had manifested itself. So Constantine stops that, and the kid actually stops it just by showing compassion to this woman. And it kind of destroys her because she was just fueled by hate. And it turns out somebody had been sending her all these letters, and it was signed her son, but she didn't have a son. But it was just your standard, very right-wing, these immigrants are ruining our country type of things. You only saw like partial pages, so you only saw some words, but you got the idea of what these letters said. And Constantine's like, well, she didn't have a kid, so who is this from? And he's like, oh, here's an envelope. And he looks at it, and he says a bad word and walks out of the room. And then the last panel is focusing on it, and the return address was House of Commons. So now we'll see where this is going. You know, like somebody was intentionally doing this to this woman to get her riled up to cause this.
So it's after this story arc is the one that's going to go, because aren't they finishing it in just like a trade?
No, that was Lucifer.
Oh, Lucifer.
Yeah,
okay.
Not Hellblazer. So, yeah, so it's still going. But this feels like old-school Hellblazer from the 80s and 90s, as opposed to the one that they tried to make him a superhero part on a team, like with the TV show, when especially at New 52, when I remember I read a couple of those and just went, this is far more old-school Vertigo, Garth Ennis-style, Warren Ellis-style Hellblazer. So I'm enjoying it very, very much. The art was really good, other than some scenes with the monster was just, it was so stylized and scratchy, really could not tell what was going on. I don't know. It may have looked better before it was colored or something, but it was just very, you couldn't tell what was going on. It was like all drawn in black scratchy, and then it was like dark red coloring, and it was just kind of everything washed out. It was really hard. So other than that, it was good. Unless it was just trying to show chaos, which it, that worked. Mm. Go, Dave.
I read Action Comics.
It's that Superman book.
That's a Superman book.
Oh, by that Bendis guy who rumored he announced he's going to be wrapping up his Superman run soon. So we'll see where that goes.
Wonder what he's doing next.
I have an inkling, but nothing's been announced.
This is the start of a new storyline, the House of Kent, with Superman trying to figure out who Connor Kent is and where he comes from, because Superman doesn't remember him at all. So Superman calls in the greatest minds of the DC Universe to the Hall of Justice to try to help him figure this out. Will Magnus, Mr. Terrific, the Atoms, Ray Palmer, Ryan Choi, and Batman. And they decide, they take him to Smallville. They take Connor to Smallville to see Ma and Pa Kent. And something happens, and they instantly know who he is. And Superman's really perplexed. Can't figure out what's going on. And then the other storyline is the Daily Planet. It was revealed that the owner of the Daily Planet is this mob boss, Marisol Leone. And there's a Perry White calls a staff meeting to just say, you know, they're still going to be publishing until the FBI comes and locks the doors. So it was just okay. It wasn't great. Wasn't really bad. But I like the Daily Planet storyline probably more than what's going on with Connor. And the other one I read, Finger Guns number 2.
Okay.
Which is about two kids, a boy named Wes. And when they have these power, and a girl named Sadie, when they have these powers, when they make finger guns with their hands, Wes can make people agitated or mad, and the girl can make people feel a sense of calmness. So this starts with Sadie in her school guidance counselor's office, but all she can think about is her abusive dad, who's abusive to her mom. And she goes over to Wes's house, and they start bonding over their families because Wes's dad is never there. He's like, I wish my dad was here more. And Sadie thinks about that, what's going on with her dad, but she doesn't reveal anything to Wes about her family situation. But
yeah, her family situation was really ugly in that first issue.
Yeah, it's really bad. But I kind of want to like this more than I do. It's kind of seems second nature, but there's a part in this where Sadie goes to the library and she prints out a page of the hand signed alphabet, and she thinks that might have something connection to their powers, but then nothing comes of that at all in this issue. So just feels kind of stuck to me. I want to like it more than I do, and that's it. That's all.
Well then, Colin. What's coming out next week?
A little bit. Not a big week. Not a huge week.
A good week, though. There's some good books.
Yeah, there's some very good books. There's a new one from Image called A Man Among Ye. It's kind of like a modern pirate story. Or I don't know about modern, but it's a pirate story. Dark Knight's Death Metal is probably the biggie for next week. Kicking off the Snyder and Capullo sequel to Dark Knight's Metal. And I guess spinning out of also that his Justice League run. Detective Comics 475 Facsimile Edition, which looks to be our last DC Facsimile Edition. Flash Annual number 3. They've been just pumping Flash out these last few weeks. Two in one day, then another one this week. Them. Yeah, and then we got a Giant, and now we get a Annual. Hotel number 2, that's the AWA book. It's coming out. We are getting Strange Adventures 2, which is another big one. That first one was quite good. So that's coming. And then the last one is Wind with a Y. This is the kind of unexpected release from Boom about by James Tinian, the story he's been doing, working on since he was a teenager. And originally it was going to be a graphic novel, and then they decided to serialize it. So that is starting. This one's kind of a surprise book.
What was that?
Wind from Boom and Tinian. I forget who's drawing the main cover. The B cover is by Dan Mora from Klaus Claus fame.
That makes me think of that from the Death of Superman, Bloodwind.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know exactly what he's doing. So, yeah, not a ton of books, but some good ones, some big ones, so it'll be enough to bring some people in. No Marvel next week, which is disappointing, but we'll get them back on schedule. I think my pups are ready to go. I'm doing Vault all June just because they are doing some good stuff for us behind the scenes. All their books this month are returnable, and they're giving us a special discount, so I want to thank them. So give a look at some of their books, one of which is The Savage Shores, probably my favorite book from last year. So, don't know about book club. We'll figure that out when we can have people together again. Probably, I'd say July. Definitely not this month. So
we'll have a second coming of Second Coming.
Yes. Yeah, maybe we can hit Second Coming again.
Hell, by that point, it might be the Second Coming.
Second Coming 2 will be out by then.
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah. Well, they are doing a sequel to it. And I'm very much looking forward to what his title for it will be.
As long as it doesn't go digital only.
Yes. Yeah. That was so disappointing.
They are going to do a trade, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, that was probably my best-selling of all their books. So.
Was Captain Ginger?
Well, no. Second Coming and Billionaire Island did better, but...
Billionaire Island is... That's coming out next week, right?
We just FOC'd it, so it'll be coming.
Never thought I'd have a beef with Ahoy Comics.
I know. I was so disappointed when I saw that. Yeah. End of days.
Island Ahoy?
Yeah.
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 Captain Ginger.
So I think that's all we got. Always find me PittsburghComics.com, Pittsburgh Comics on Facebook, and PGH Comics on Twitter and Instagram. So, Brandon.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.